Thanks for listening to the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight, 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern, 7 to 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Fox Sports Radio, welcome inside Hour 3 of the Jason Smith Show with my best friend Mike Harmon. Before we get back into big-time NBA free agency, you may have heard the dulcet tones of Ralph Ervin moments ago telling you that Trae Young is now not just going to be rich, he's going to be really, really rich. A five-year extension for Trae Young, because now he can sign it, for $207 million. So write down $40-plus million a
year. Good for him.
For Trae Young. I believe Ralph Ervin has another one for us. Ralph, if you tell me the Knicks are extending Kevin Knox for $200 million, I'm quitting right now. All right, you tell me
that. So Mike Harmon Show, quit. Fox Sports Radio, got my team assembled, Alex Tyshirt and Ralph Ervin.
Look how fast you went back in there.
No, I do not have that, but I do have Oklahoma City extending Shai Gilgeous-Alexander 5 years. Want to guess?
$207 million.
No, not quite. $172 million.
Oof, man, I'll tell you.
Coming off an injury season, too. Good for him.
Yeah. I mean, that's some kind of contract. Look, they're building around him. He was someone that, he went 10th overall, I believe, in that 2018 draft. And let me tell you, this is going to be your chance to laugh at the Knicks, right? So you look at the 2018 draft, right? Shai Gilgeous-Alexander.
Yeah, so he went 11th, million, yeah.
Right? He went 11th overall. And, of course, Trae Young going 5th to... at that point, there was a trade, but he went to Dallas. They made the trade with Atlanta, so that's what happened, because that's how Luka Doncic wound up with Dallas and Trae Young wound up. Both teams are very happy. Right? You would say, oh, man, who went ahead of Trae Young? The top 12, the 14 of this draft is actually really good.
You got a lot of impact players there.
There's only one guy who stinks, okay? There's only one guy out of the top 12 who stinks, and it's Kevin Knox with the Knicks. All right, just the Knicks could have had any one of the top 12 players in this draft, and instead they wind up with the only guy who stinks. All right, because
but he averaged 3.9 in 42 games this year.
That's like my height when I was 12 years old. 3.9
shot 39. He's a career 36.9% shooter.
Boy. He's terrible. Everybody else is at least decent, right? This draft in 2018, a really good draft, right? It was DeAndre Ayton goes number one overall. You saw the player he has turned into in the NBA Finals. Marvin Bagley, not quite who you thought he was going to be, but he's still a 15-7 guy. Mm-hmm. Luka Doncic is a superstar. Jaren Jackson is a 14-7 guy. Trae Young is 5. Mo Bamba, okay. Mo Bamba's not really great yet, but okay. Wendell Carter, then you got Colin Sexton, who the Knicks might wind up getting. You know, look, he's a guy that Cleveland wants out. He's a 25-point-a-game guy. Then you got Kevin Knox. Then you have Bridges. And then you have Gilgeous-Alexander, right? We saw Bridges playing really well in the NBA Finals again for the Phoenix Suns. And so you look at these are your top 11 picks. The worst one is the guy the Knicks got. I mean, seriously, just think about that. He couldn't even crack the rotation this year for Tom Thibodeau. He was a guy that only played, even when they were down and guys were hurt, and it was, can we somehow get Patrick Ewing through security to play? No, we got to play Kevin Knox. No, let's see if we can get Ewing in. See if we can get Spike Lee in. See if we get somebody else. We don't want to play Kevin Knox. You could add any one of the top 11 in terms that you get a guy that can't even crack your rotation.
Sorry, buddy. You still finished fourth, so that was good for you.
Just
means the rest of your team got better.
Buddy,
how about that?
Buddy.
No, look, they're not all going to be great. Just happened to be your team once again picked that guy.
Mm.
I mean, Michael Porter Jr. goes 14th. DiVincenzo goes 17th. keep on going down the line. Landry Shamet, 26th. I mean, there's lots of guys that Devontae Graham just got paid, right? Because he's heading over to New Orleans. You got a lot of players, a lot of impact guys. Congratulations to Luka. They won their game just a little bit ago in the Olympics. So Slovenia moving on. We get ready for the U.S. In a little bit, but Colin Sexton, who's, well, he'd been rumored to go to you guys, so maybe you can make up with it with one of Kevin Knox's draft classmates. How about that?
Okay. Thanks, buddy.
I'm trying to help you, buddy. What else do you want from me?
You can't help me, buddy.
You're in first place. Okay, you're in first place then. Okay? And even though the Yankees have one more win, you're in first place. Does that make you feel better? How about that?
I do feel good about that, buddy.
Feeling a little bit better. You get a guy from the Cubs. He immediately comes in and hits a home run.
I do.
How crazy was that? That all those guys leave and it's like, hey, we're freed. Yeah. And Chris Bryant's like, I'm going to be a Giant for the rest of my life.
So, yeah, just think about that for a second. The Knicks could have taken any of those top 11. No. We get the guy and he is stunk. Oh, that's so depressing. But speaking of the Knicks, look. When the Eastern Conference Finals roll around next year and the Knicks are playing in them, I will have forgotten all about this. Because one of the big things that happened today, the Knicks brought with the most money to spend in free agency, and they did it the smart way. They brought back the players they need to, who helped them to get to this, 41 wins this year, fourth in the East. They're on the rise finally, and they went out and got exactly what they needed in Evan Fournier, right? They brought back Derrick Rose, they brought back Alec Burks, brought back Nerlens Noel. They had more money than anybody to spend. They were never going to get a star player. Okay, now think about that for a second. Why do I love what they're doing if I've been talking about Damian Lillard, all these guys, all the offseason, all the Knicks can do this?
Wanted everybody.
Well,
you're like Frostburg and Robert Guerra and all our guys that work with us here on Fox Sports Radio, that anytime there's a rumor a guy might be unhappy for a minute or he stubbed his toe, hashtag future Laker, hashtag future Dodger. And then it shows up. It's like, see, I told you. It's like, you've applied that to every guy that's played, except Carmelo Anthony.
This was a case of understanding what's going to make us better while we celebrate what's going to be our best season of the Tom Thibodeau era, right? Because this is going to be it. Like, this is going to be a glorious year for the Knicks, right?
You're months away from it starting,
and you're looking at this
squad going, we're going to have a glorious run, and then it's going to start to burn again.
I know. Like, what do you say? Trust me when I tell you what I'm telling you, okay? Tom Thibodeau, we've watched him throughout his career. He has been a great head coach, but after 3 years, he kind of wears out his welcome. He doesn't get along well with the star players that he's coached with. So he moves on. Now, what happened last year? The Knicks had no stars. He made Julius Randle into a star, so okay, Randle's beholden to Tom Thibodeau. But you bring in a star like a Damian Lillard or somebody else that doesn't like the way he does things and say, he's going to make me play defense an awful lot, it's going to be a battle between your star player and your head coach, and Tom Thibodeau is not down with that. Right now, he's exercising the influence that he has, being the big difference in the team, winning 41 games with a roster that really wasn't that talented. It was full of up-and-coming players, but look at what you did. So he brings in Evan Fournier, who's a really good player, right? He's he's exactly what they need. They need more offense. They need guys that can shoot from outside. They need that, and he's going to bring that in a large quantity. So I love this signing. Look, they're going to go to the Eastern Conference Finals next year. This is going to be the year for the Knicks because this is when they're still feeding off the excitement of last year, but they still burn with intensity because we lost in the first round of the playoffs, right? We were great in the regular season, but boy, Julius Randle stunk. That's going to motivate him. The Knicks are motivated to play better. They're changing the roster a little bit, but they're bringing back enough of the guys that got them to where they are. And so this is going to be it. Because after this year, this is going to be, I'm really kind of sick of Thibodeau on top of me all the time, of being very unbending with his rotations, of not being very open to playing new players, and I'm kind of done with this. Which is because it's what happens everywhere. No matter how successful you are, after a shelf life of a couple or 3 years with a head coach, that's what's going to happen. So I'm fully ready for that with the Knicks. In fact, I told you that. When we hired Tom Thibodeau, you said, buddy, he wears out his welcome. And I said to you, how many times? I'll wait until we make the playoffs for 3 years in a row, and then we have to worry about it. I haven't been in the playoffs since you and I started doing the show together.
That's true.
Okay, so I'll worry about that when it comes up. And I will. I'll worry about that in 2 years. But this year is going to be glorious because the Knicks are getting exactly what they want, and they're building exactly how they need to with Tom Thibodeau as the head coach, because you can't have a big enough personality in there to challenge him, because it's really been a his-way team. There's not many coaches where you can say have that kind of influence on their team. In fact, Tom Thibodeau, Greg Popovich, you could say those are the guys. You know, maybe Steve Kerr, but boy, he had some outsized egos and personalities there when he had Kevin Durant going on and Draymond Green.
Well, but he managed it well, right? Learned at the feet of Phil Jackson in terms of, all right, how do we make this work? Even if guys may not that they're fighting, but maybe they're not quite in sync. And how do you do that? Well, they got their titles, and now they try to rebuild and get a new run in. But to your point on Thibodeau, you're right. It is a different mentality that you're trying to sell from anything from AAU ball and in college basketball for the year that a lot of the guys go, or maybe the 2 years or whatever it becomes now that you have NIL and guys maybe not rushing to get snubbed and put into the second round of the NBA draft or be undrafted. But for the moment, you look at a roster and he brought back Derrick Rose, a guy that he's well familiar with and who buys in to the style of basketball he wants to play. Now it's just your guy, Julius Randle. Will he do that for another year and take the beating that he took over the course of the year too? Because he took a lot of body blows, gave a lot out.
Yeah.
But certainly it's a different style and guy that can wear on guys. And it's, you know, playoff basketball throughout a regular season, which means come playoff basketball, you're beaten up.
But this is where you don't have to worry about it as much because you brought in someone to take away the scoring onus of you. You know, you brought in Fournier is going to be a guy that gets a lot of shots, and he's what they need from the outside. So suddenly you're not going to rely on, hey, we got to get the ball down low. You can't win like that. You can't win like that in the playoffs. And the Knicks recognize that, going, okay, we need to be able to score the basketball from the outside more and make plays where it's not dumping into Julius Randle and then go, oh, man, when he's one on two, he really doesn't know what to do, because he really doesn't. So this is what the Knicks needed. This is what they're doing. This is why. But having the influence over the team, it's Thibodeau and it's Popovich. Because even Steve Kerr is, y'all, like, I'm just going to kind of manage the great players that come my way. I don't have to worry about too much of it. These are the guys that say, hey, it's my way or the highway. You know, you do this my way or you're going to find a way in a different team. We're going to figure it out, even if you're a really good player. I mean, that's the kind of influence he has. This is why I'm not surprised the Knicks didn't go get a star, that Evan Fournier is the guy they wound up with. Okay, I think, you know, a guy like Fournier, Colin Sexton, however it turns out, that's what it's going to be. And that's where the Knicks are. And it doesn't matter because they have built the team the right way, and I'm going to enjoy this year for as good as it's going to be, right? I told you, top four teams in the East are going to be the Bucks, the Nets, the Knicks, and the Miami Heat, right? All the four teams. The Heat made good moves today. The Knicks made good moves today. You can see the other teams are on the way down. The Celtics are going to be rebuilding. The Hawks are not going to be as good as they were last year. This is going to be a really top four heavy conference, and the Knicks are going to be in the top four of it. And I'm going to be there for it, buddy, until it all falls apart a year from now when Julius Randle wants all kinds more money and all kinds of crazy-ass stuff happens. Oh, no, I'm going to enjoy this year for the magic carpet ride it's going to be.
No, that's good. I don't know that it's good or better for the show that they're winning or better for the show that they're an abject failure. But expectations give us one or the other now, isn't it? It's good theater. And look, I love that we're at a point where you're like, we didn't bring a star. The guy's going to make almost $20 million a year. It's like, yeah, this guy. He's going to help move things. That's the state of the NBA and the dollars that players can command. And you know me, I love that's the state of affairs for all of the hand-wringing about ratings and whatever else. Like, no. Things are clearly healthy with the amount of money being spent today on day one. Okay? And your guy got 4 years, $78 million. You're like, yeah, you know, he doesn't have to be the big superstar. It's like $20 million a year to move forward and bring your Tom Thibodeau heaven to life. I think this is it's great. Because if it blows up, again, it'll happen on our watch.
Twitter it out about a fresca. Mike, it's Swollen Dome, but it's not going to blow up until the Eastern Conference Finals. The Knicks are going to be that good, buddy. It's going to be a great, great year. Great year. AutoZone has more ways for you to start your job your way. That means getting what you need fast. Some jobs cannot wait, and that's why AutoZone offers free same-day store pickup. With their free same-day store pickup, you can order online, pick it up today at more than 5,600 AutoZone locations. Some jobs can wait, and that's why AutoZone offers free next-day delivery on orders over $35. Free next-day delivery is available on over 100,000 parts, so visit AutoZone.com today to start your job fast. Get in the zone. AutoZone. So we are about 35 minutes away from Team USA trying to crank out a gold medal in basketball. What do we think of the first day of NBA free agency? Oh, NBA insider extraordinaire Dan Wojcicki stops by with all the thoughts on that. Covering the games in Tokyo, we have your full service basketball breakfast bar coming your way next right here on Fox.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
TJ, I was working as a waitress at a cocktail bar when I met you. Fox Sports Radio, The Jason Smith Show with my best friend Mike Harmon.
Yes, sir.
We are about 25 minutes away from the United States men's basketball team tipping it off in the Olympics. We're going to welcome a guest joining us now from Tokyo who now he and I have more in common than you could possibly imagine. He is joining us now from Tokyo on his 40th birthday. You ready, Harmon? One, two, three.
Happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday, you old man.
Happy birthday, Dan. From Jason and Dikembe Mutombo.
On Twitter, LA yeah. Times, NBA Insider.
Finish?
Happy birthday to you.
Are you going to let me finish my statement or not?
Happy birthday, Dan.
Hey, buddy.
Guys, I am so touched. That is, I feel the love from across the Pacific.
There you go. Giant pile of Portillo's gift. When you come back, buddy.
Amazing. A wonderful gift. And then I would also say, too, as a second gift, you guys know this. When I tell people I cover the league, I'm not talking about the NBA. I'm generally talking about the band Human League. So I appreciate the intro music, too.
Nicely done.
Yeah,
you know,
so,
Big day for the league. I also celebrated my 40th birthday on the air, doing a radio show. You and I have more in common than you can possibly know. I don't think I played the Human League that night on the show, but we both spent our 40th birthdays working and being on the air.
Yeah, no, so it's weird because, like, it's actually, you know, my birthday was yesterday in Japan, but it's today in America. So it has been like, a two-birthday thing. I feel like I'm, like, 14 again. And where you get to, like, you know, if your birthday's on the weekend, you get to bring the treats to school. Maybe not 14, more like 9. But you bring the treats to school.
Different treats.
You know, you bring the cupcakes. Yeah, you bring the cupcakes. Maybe you have a weekend party later. It's like you get to celebrate a whole bunch of different times. So I'm soaking it in. This is like my super sweet 16.
You didn't call LA Times, everybody you're covering the Olympics for, and say, hey, I need tomorrow off. It's my birthday.
Yeah, like, give me a day off. To do what?
What is he, 12? Come on.
I would also, yeah.
Do your job.
I'm saying, how about like sightseeing in Tokyo? That's what I'd say he'd want to do.
So I'm actually not allowed to do that yet. I think I'm like 2 days away from being sprung on that.
Okay.
But it's like still, it's like, you know, I mean, I'm just kind of parked at the Saitama Super Arena. It's an amazing name of a building. You know, well, maybe, I don't know, maybe not. Maybe if Spain wins, maybe I will have time to sightsee. Who knows?
Yeah, we're done. We're pulling the plug. We're going home. Spain wins. We're going home. We're going home, everybody. Now, before we get to that, look, obviously a huge day in NBA free agency. What's the deal you like the most of all the big deals we saw? And look, you can say Evan Fournier to the Knicks if you want to. But what's the deal you like the most that you saw today?
Oh, man. You know, I mean, I think, like, outside of obviously, like, the extensions and stuff like that, I mean, look, what word just came in on Otto Porter for the minimum to the Warriors, which seems like a nice, like, kind of value signing for a team that, you know, could be pretty good if things work out for them. I like Caruso to the Bulls. That to me, for a team that's going to be a little soft defensively in the front court, like, you need to have really good defensive guards. And I think with Lonzo Ball and Caruso, like, you've got two really good ones. I don't know how much that moves your ceiling. You know, like, you're kind of in that weird position where it's like, you know, like, you're going to be fighting for the fifth seed. So, like, I guess that's good. But, yeah, no, I mean, it's funny. I come out of the day, like, mostly just sort of confused about everything moving forward, you know. I still feel like the Nets are going to enter next season as the favorites. They probably should. But then I look at the Western Conference guys, and it's just sort of like, I'm not crazy about what's happened with the Lakers so far. It doesn't really feel like their formula has changed much, which is like sort of at this point, you know, hope that LeBron James and Anthony Davis are both healthy. And if they are, like, don't worry about conventional roster construction, because if they're healthy, like, those two guys can make up for just about anything else. That seems to be the plan. Obviously, the Clippers don't have Kawhi Leonard, so it's sort of like, what's their ceiling? It's kind of, you know, I'm kind of left to sort of shrug my shoulders right now in the West. It's hard to know, like, who the big winners are. I like Kyle Lowry to Miami. I think that's a really good win now move, and I think the Heat should be kind of back in position to be a contender for the Eastern Conference title with the Nets. Other than that, though, guys, I don't know. Kind of, to me, it all feels sort of chalk, mostly.
And Chris Paul upping the career earnings to $450 million with a few more years on his deal with the Suns. Is that just a contract that starts to move as we go year to year to other teams?
I think so. Yeah, I mean, I think so. I mean, I think it's one of those things that kind of, you know, you have to do in the sort of aftermath of what happened last season. And, you know, you deal with it down the road a little bit. I'm not surprised he's back. I never really bought, you know, the Knicks rumblings or the Pelicans stuff. I think the Lakers were maybe an option for him at some point in this, but it's, you know, getting it done with the salary cap was virtually impossible without him taking a big, big pay cut. And so, I mean, I think one of the things, guys, that I'm really surprised with, at least on the Lakers front, is like kind of, you know, the market drying up on Dennis Schroeder is really interesting.
That's Magic's fault, Dan. As soon as he called him a bum in the playoffs, that was it.
I mean, to me, it's weirdly, and I'm telling you, I don't think this is happening. I don't have indications that this is happening. You know, it would be a way to sort of salvage, like, the Caruso thing is if you end up giving the Caruso contract to Dennis Schroeder. The Lakers, like, that's maybe one way out of this where it feels a little bit better. But I'll say this. I hated the Lakers offseason 2 years ago. Hated is maybe a strong word. It didn't feel like a smart offseason. And they won a title. I think last year made a little more sense, and they lost in the first round. So, you know, this stuff is all a total crapshoot. It just, I think, you know, in the immediacy, you kind of look at it, and it's sort of like, you know, it seems weird to be shopping from a pool only of players who know all the words to Randy Newman's I Love L.A. I think you'd want to expand. Like, just because they have the garage code, you don't have to invite them back in the house. And, like, that's been, like, kind of the weird thing with sort of the Laker offseason today, at least.
Well, and I feel bad, Dan. I feel you're being too hard on things because, I get that you're 40 and you're now officially too old to play for the Lakers because the oldest
you can be is... I don't have time for this.
The oldest you can be is 36, right? That clearly they're okay with signing a lot of 36-year-olds, but over that, you can't play there anymore.
I get it, right? Like, it's like you when you sign LeBron James, and that is the direction you go, like, you are on the clock, right? And every year you don't win is a wasted year. They are going to be very old next season. Very, very old. And they're going to be very old a year after they were very injured and had some bad luck. And, like, one of the ways you can kind of mitigate some of that luck is by being younger. And they're going to need to have really good luck next year. There's no way around it. This is going to be an old basketball team. They're less athletic than they were a year ago, despite having Russell Westbrook, who is like a total freak athlete. But, you know, I don't think their shooting additions make up for the defensive losses, and they lost a lot on defense. You know, we'll see what they do kind of in the vet market. We'll see if they can, you know, look, I mean, I think like Patty Mills would be a nice addition. You know what I mean? Like, if they can get him, you know, if Rudy Gay is somebody they can sign, like, that, this stuff is all great. It just, none of this stuff feels like it's going to, like, completely solve or even partially solve some of the issues they've created for themselves. But then again, like, and this is sort of the joylessness of the situation, guys, is that, like, if it really comes down to, again, just LeBron and Anthony Davis being healthy, then, like, what else matters? You know, like, sure. That's not that exciting to watch, and it's not that exciting to talk about. And that's sort of the box they painted themselves in, is like, if those two things happen, like, they feel really good about their chances. And if those two things don't happen, it's hard to imagine, you know, if Wayne Ellington shoots 44% from three on six attempts a game, like, it's not going to make that big of a difference.
I just celebrate Russell Westbrook's entire catalog. I do appreciate on Twitter, at Dan Wojcicki Sports, live from Tokyo, covering the Olympic Games, getting ready for the United States men's basketball team. I do like that 2 hours ago you did put the swaggy P, might as sure. well, dot, dot, dot. Nicely done.
Thank you. I knew what my mentions would be if it was a picture of Jeremy Lin. So I went with the safer route on former Laker guards. Look, I think the Ariza signing is a nice signing. I think he'll help them. They do need guys like that. But Trevor Ariza is like 36. You know, if they sign Carmelo Anthony, like, Carmelo Anthony's been a pretty good role player as a shooter these last couple years. Carmelo Anthony is, I don't know what, probably 36, 37 years old, something like that.
Mm-hmm. Oh, sure.
And it's just sort of like, these are the kinds of bets I think you make on one or two guys, and the Lakers are going to make them on six or seven. A couple years ago, it worked. This plan worked. Like, they hit on Avery Bradley. They hit on JaVale McGee and Dwight Howard. They hit on Danny Green. I just don't feel like these are the same class of players. I just really don't. And I think if you put pen to paper and you look at sort of where their roster is today, it's like they've got some pretty big holes, and they don't have a lot of ammunition to fill them. That's sort of the challenge for them.
Dan Wojcicki with us from Tokyo, covering the Olympics, NBA insider. So now let's look ahead. We got United States and Spain coming up in a few minutes here. Clearly, it's been a rocky path for the big favorites in all of the Olympics, whether you're Simone Biles or the U.S. Women's mm-hmm. National Team in soccer. Reason to be nervous tonight, or do you think it'll be a nice night for the United States?
Oh, I mean, I think reasons to be nervous for sure. The Spanish team is certainly capable of beating anybody. They're incredibly experienced. They have incredible continuity. A lot of things that the U.S. doesn't have. They're not as talented as they've been in the past. Obviously, I think if this was 4 years ago, Spain is a much tougher team to beat than they are today. But Ricky Rubio has been fantastic in this tournament. And, you know, I think it'll be interesting to see how the U.S. attacks him, if they can do it defensively. Obviously, a loss would be a disaster, I think, for the Americans. But I think, I don't think it'll be easy. I don't think anything's going to be easy for this team. They haven't really shown that throughout this tournament. So I'm expecting it to be a closest game. And when games are like that, you know, things like hot shooting start to matter a lot more. And if it's just not your night shooting the ball, then, yeah, maybe you end up in trouble.
Yeah, we were talking about all these Laker veterans. At Dan Wojcicki Sports, W-O-I-K-E is the surname, on Twitter, a post from 2 days ago, LATimes.com, about Pau Gasol. Hey, maybe he can come back for one more run with the Lakers as well. But did you go to Popovich and the players and just be like, you know, all the kids with Babe Ruth and Paul O'Neill on Seinfeld saying, I need you to win for me today because it's my birthday?
Yeah, I told him. I said that if the amount of work that I will have to do if you lose is exponentially higher. So, win one for the Gipper today, please. I beg of you. You know, there's a nice clean. Let's get it done by about the third quarter. That would be most ideal. Look, man, I don't think I'd even get a happy birthday out of Greg Popovich if we're being totally honest.
Now that you have to ask him in the press conference, you have to get a question. Whenever your question, you have to say, "It's my birthday, so can you answer a question for me?" or something like that. I want to hear that from you.
Mikey, Los Angeles Times. Pop, it's my birthday. No question, just comments on that. Can you talk about that?
That would be the best, buddy. You would live forever on that.
Can you talk about my birthday?
Can you talk about my birthday and the impact it had on tonight's win?
I could have sworn I saw Damian Lillard look to the empty arena, to my seat in the press tribunal, and mouth the words, 40, and like, Wash King. Hashtag Wash King.
And then he went out and scored 40 for you on your birthday.
We'll see if that happens, I might write it.
On Twitter, at Dan Wojcicki Sports, at Dan Wojcicki Sports. Birthday boy turning 40 in Tokyo. Again, United States and Spain coming up in a few minutes. We'll give you all the updates on that. Happy birthday, my friend. We'll talk to you next week. Enjoy.
I was going to say, not a birthday boy. I'm a man. I'm 40.
Well played. Well played, Dan.
Oh, there goes D-Dub. Great stuff from him, as always, man. I'll tell you.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
Hey, this is Jason McIntyre. Join me every weekday morning on my podcast, Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre. This isn't your typical sports pod pushing the same tired narratives down your throat every day. Straight Fire gives you honest opinions on all the biggest sports headlines, accurate stats to help you win big at the sports book, and all the best guests. Do yourself a favor and listen to Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Fox Sports Radio, The Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon.
Hey, buddy.
And yes, TJ, we're all walking on sunshine with Katrina and the Pepperdine Waves as they lead Mount St. Mary's by a dozen in the third quarter. We'll get to that. We got to talk about this right now because we'll get to, look, I love, all right, to pay off what we call a tease in the radio business. I love the Bulls getting Lonzo Ball. Lonzo Ball has proven himself to that. He's someone that gets it, that understands he had to improve to make money and be a big time NBA star. He's done it. I've come around on Lonzo Ball. Okay. Now that's done.
That was good. That was a good, concise, cogent argument.
Good. You
good
like
for
that.
Him. Yeah, you no, know. He's grown into a solid all-around basketball player, and he's only going to be 24 at the end of October. Still plenty of room for growth.
Yeah, no, I like everything that happened. It's going to be really, really good for him. Right now, the United States and Spain are at it with about 3.5 minutes to go in the first quarter.
Yeah.
And the United States leads Spain 14-8. Now, you're saying to yourself, there's 11 channels here on the Olympics. Why can't I watch this? Because NBC, which paid $1 billion for the Olympics, when clearly you could say, hey, we can put this on right now and people can see it in the West Coast window, or people could stay up late on the East Coast and we get good ratings. No. This game is only on Peacock TV because clearly all NBC cares about, I guarantee you, when they talked about the goals of the Olympics, is bumping up the streaming on Peacock TV, which is a huge investment, and making it relevant. And boosting the numbers, that is way more important than making the Olympics available for people to see it.
Well, it's like the lawsuit we were talking about with Disney and Scarlett Johansson and potentially other stars in terms of pushing things to sales on Disney Plus instead of worrying about only the box office.
Right. And this is a case of, we're going to broadcast the Olympics. Great. We want everything on it. We have it. We have five stations. We can easily put this on. But no, we are going to take this and put it on because it's something everybody wants to see. So we're going to make you pay for it to go get it.
On Plus. So I'm watching bloggers with play-by-play. And I'm almost reading it like it's, the guys from the White Sox.
You're reading ticker tape, like it's the early 1900s, and you go, this is what's happening. This is what's happening.
Well, all the times they show Montgomery Burns reading the stock ticker, Durant walks into a jumper. That what makes Team USA so hard to beat. No matter how well you do everything else. There's nothing you can do to contain Kevin Durant.
Pau Gasol's going to have a tough time with him, Smithers. I don't think this is going to go that way.
Hernan Gomez has no chance.
I completely get that. Look, you want to find a way to make money. You want to put stuff on streaming. But, I mean, this is something that, no, we're clearly just not going to do it. And we're going to put it on and make you pay money to go get it. We're going to pay for the Olympics. But, no. Putting it over the air is not enough. We got to make sure Peacock TV stands out. We can't get lost. Because once it's over, once the Olympics are over, then Peacock TV is back competing with Netflix and Amazon Prime and HBO Max and everything else. We want Peacock TV to succeed.
Well, because this is Peacock. Peacock Plus, right? Peacock TV, you can get the base for free.
Right,
this
but you
is
can't
the,
get this.
Hey, you got to give us $5.
Right, right.
And then you'll forget to cancel it, so we'll get another $5.
Right. Look, this is just, it's embarrassing, and I understand. I understand the philosophy of it, but, I mean, this clearly is just, hey, we're now going to hold this game hostage from you. This is not, you have a tough enough time zone problem anyway. Your streaming numbers are way up. You're doing great streaming because everybody's streaming events because they're not on in the normal time. So, okay, if I can't do it, I'm going to stream. But now this is holding this game hostage and saying, nope, we're going to make you pay for it. Not that even it's on Pika, we're going to make you pay for it if you really want to see this. That and really, all you're going to do then is upset and piss off so many people, piss off the media, people watching. All of these things are going to happen, and you watch the backlash that's happening because of this game, USA-Spain tonight.
Oh, I'd love to see what the numbers are. Because why don't you just stream it on Peacock TV for free and just up your ad rate? Mm.
Twitter at How About a Fresca, Mike at Swollen Dome. The hottest take of the year coming up next. Uh-oh. Fox.